In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Reignite Resilience. I am Pam Cast, one of your hosts, and I am joined by the lovely Natalie Davis. Hey, Natalie.
Hello.
How's it going?
Amazing. Just living the dream.
Fabulous. I feel the same way, and excited to be here today. And I'm excited to dive into our topic today. Yes. And most of you think that we have this list of topics we're going to talk about, but really a lot of it just has to do with we're in conversations and people say stuff and we're like, ooh, we should explore that more. And so this came from one of our last guests that we interviewed, and he made the distinction between resilience and stubbornness. And I'm like, ooh, I think we should probably talk about that. So today we're going to talk about what resilience is versus stubbornness. Maybe what are some negative and positive parts of being stubborn, because we've talked about resilience quite a bit. And then ways that we can overcome some of the negative stubbornness that we sometimes find ourselves in. So
exactly.
Let's do this.
I'm excited about it. And if you want to hear about that portion on how we came up with the topic, it was our fabulous discussion that we had with Mike Stavis. Part one in his podcast episodes, where he shares some experiences in life where he was just flat out stubborn. Yes. And it wasn't resilience at all. He was just being stubborn. So here we are. I think this is great, because I think as he shared his personal story, I was like, interesting take, because we oftentimes look at adversity and think we keep pushing through, pushing forward. And if we can just make it through to the other side or overcome the adversity, and then it's fine, then we'll be okay.
Yeah.
But some of those things we don't need to push through. We may just need to learn from.
We don't need to push through. We need to learn through some of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to just be present in what's happening and allow ourselves to feel. And
yeah.
I think sometimes I know I have been stubborn when bad things happen. I talk myself through it and I'm like, okay, I'm fine. On to the next thing. But I've never really dealt with it. And I think that's some of that stubbornness where you're
exactly.
like, just stop.
And just stop it.
Stop, feel what you're feeling, and then move on. And don't
exactly.
be stuck. And I don't know about you, and we'll get into it a little bit, but I see a lot of this right now in our society, this stubbornness where people have become so ingrained in their own beliefs that they are completely closed off to hear other people's opinions and closed off to being empathetic to what other people might be going through.
Yeah.
And I think that's a type of stubbornness that I think can be very detrimental to individuals, but also to us as a society when we don't have that curiosity to push through something and maybe ask more questions and figure out what's going on. We just know we're like, nope. This is what my belief is. I'm only going to hear the other things that validate what I believe.
Yes.
And I'm not changing that opinion. That's stubbornness.
Absolutely. That is totally stubbornness. And I was listening to another podcast. It was an episode of My First Million. And it was interesting. They made the statement, if you can't truly have a conviction, if you're not able to wholeheartedly argue and defend the other side of the argument, right? Like you are more, or I guess better versed in whatever that topic is when you can wholeheartedly also argue the other side, right? Have an
Absolutely.
Understanding. Otherwise, like you mentioned, you're truly looking for information to support and validate your current thoughts. And that's easy, especially in today's day and age.
Absolutely.
If you truly want to just validate where you are, you can search for that. But if you want to search for information so that you have a true full picture of whatever topic, discussion, whatever conviction you have, you've got to seek the information, not just seek validation. Otherwise, you are being stubborn.
And I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. I think there's been, I want to say that my kids have had classes that they've taken debate where they actually had to debate the opposite viewpoint, meaning what they didn't believe.
Yes.
And it's so interesting, both times when the kids did it and they had to do the research on the opposing side so they could defend it, something changed where they were like, oh, you know what? I didn't think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we see this right now so much in our politics.
Yes.
And like you said, if you want to seek out something to validate what your beliefs are, you go to one news station or the other news station.
Yeah.
And you
exactly.
hear exactly what validates what you believe.
Exactly. And absolutely.
Pick your newspaper you read, pick the internet, whatever it is that you're going to go to get your news.
Yeah.
It will validate what you believe because you are choosing to look for that. You're choosing to find the things that validate what you believe.
Right.
And I will tell you that sometimes what we believe because it's what we've been told, not exactly. because it's truly true. So, wow, we went down kind of a different rabbit hole with this.
No, that's true. Well, I mean, if we're going to be stubborn on it, right? And you're absolutely right. And I know that we're, as a nation, preparing to go into an election year, a national election year. And so when you talk about the news sources, if it's print or just media outlets in general, just always, I would just invite folks to just do that little internal reflection. Are you turning on or going to that media source for information, or are you going for validation? And then you can apply that same principle to every aspect
every
in terms of thoughts and beliefs that you have.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's do just a quick reminder for people of what resilience is. So we'll talk about resilience, and then we'll kind of talk about what stubbornness is, because I do think there is this fine line between them. Mm-hmm. And I think when you hear the word resilience, you think positive. When you hear stubbornness, you maybe think negative. And as soon as I say stubbornness, I think of a little toddler who can make their body feel like it's 100 pounds when they
exactly.
go
and
somewhere.
They plop down.
Yes, they're not doing it. That's what I think of. And so I think for me personally, I automatically go to the negative connotation.
Yes.
Which is why we will talk about some positives of being stubborn at some points. But let's talk a little bit about resilience and what that is and why we feel positive about it. And I think one of the things that I always try to remind people, it's not about being Pollyanna. It's not about everything is hunky-dory. This horrible thing happens. Oh, it's fine. La, la, la. That's really not resilience is. For me, it's more about this bad thing happens, whatever it is, loss of a job, loss of a relationship, fill in the blank, a death, whatever. It's about facing that, allowing yourself to feel it, but coming out on the other side stronger for it. Like it's that growth mindset where I've had this horrible thing happen, but I grew out of it and this has made me who I am today.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's kind of how I think about resilience, kind of in a broad stroke.
I think that there's so much that is happening internally when you look at resilience, right? And the reason that I believe that we embrace it as more of a positive than a negative is that resilience kind of has that impression that you have this empowerment piece, right? Like it's, if I can just bounce back from this, or if I can overcome whatever this adversity is, it's an empowering piece. It's like, wonderful. I can pat myself on the back. It's fabulous. I'm resilient. I am growing. I'm able to look at additional opportunities because I was able to overcome whatever situation or adversity there may be. You're absolutely right. And when you have that bounce back thought, or I can overcome this, I think that it gives you kind of the motivation that you need to keep pushing through, pushing forward, versus if you're met with, you know, you're just being stubborn, right? And then that's like a, oh, shoot.
And I think maybe that's a good thing for us to dig into a little bit today is, how do you know when you're being resilient and how do you know when you're being stubborn? Like, what are those questions you need to ask yourself at any given point where you're like, okay, hold on a second here. And is this just like sheer stubbornness or am I truly growing from this thing that just happened?
Yeah.
Am I trying to learn about other things? Am I trying to learn from this event that happened? Am I looking for the potential opportunities, or am I just like, nope, digging my heels in the ground and I'm going to make my body really heavy so nobody can pick me up?
That's it. Absolutely. That's exactly it. I like it. This toddler in this analogy, I love because it does. It reminds me of when the girls were young. And there are times where you think, gosh, are the kids being resilient in this space or are they just being stubborn? But I think when we're looking at the opposite side of that, right? So resilience is having this opportunity to bounce back, knowing that we can really truly overcome and grow from, right? Like that's the key piece is that you're growing from it, which means you're seeking information to continue to grow and have the strength to move through or around this adversity. The opposite side, when you're stubborn, you could get all of the information and rationale in the world. Yep. And it's not going to change your mind. That's when you know that you're being stubborn.
Yeah. And I think it's that inflexibility. When you are inflexible in, even in a conversation with you're having with somebody that maybe has a different viewpoint from you, they start talking and then you stop listening.
Yes.
And you just become completely stubborn in your belief and just say, you know what? I don't care what you're saying, because obviously what you're saying is not true information, because the news that you listen to is fake news and what I listen to is real news. And so I'm just going to be strong in this conviction. And it's like, ooh.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe you might want to ask yourself, am I stubborn or am I truly being a resilient here? And I would say, you're probably stubborn.
And that, here's the thing, Pam, we often see folks that become stubborn, even when it's to their advantage or their benefit. If you stand so strong in your conviction and you receive additional information that gives you the power to move through, move beyond, move around, but you still stand firm in your conviction, regardless of the information that you just received, you can do a little bit of a gut check. Like if you are resistant to change or get off of your platform or even explore the option to get off of your platform, this is not a test of you being resilient. It is totally an example of you being stubborn.
And I think in situations like that, it can impact our success and it can impact failure as well. 100%. And so I think it is so important that we really do that check with ourselves. And I like and this was from Mike Staver from our coaching certification. What evidence do you have that what you are believing or saying right now is true? And when we say evidence, it's not my gut feeling. It's truly, I've got documented evidence. And if I heard it on a news station, I'm going to go validate that by maybe watching the other news station or digging in and doing a little bit more research. And
absolutely.
So I think that's so interesting, but it does, that stubbornness can be at our detriment, prevent us from growing and prevent us from opportunities that may be there that we're just like, nope.
Yes, absolutely. So I have two daughters, and as they were growing up, it was interesting because with my oldest daughter, we always had a strict rule in our house in terms of curfew, and curfew was the same. It was 9 o'clock, right? Doesn't matter, school night, non-school night, it was 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And so with my oldest daughter, never questioned it, right? She never pushed back, and it was, okay, curfew's 9, got it, understood. My youngest,
I know where this is going. This is why I'm laughing, because I know.
Exactly. My youngest, though, she posed the question, well, why 9? Right? Because, and this is like, it's just an arbitrary number. Why 9 o'clock? What's your rationale behind that? And as a parent in that moment, stopped me in my steps. And I was like, well, shoot, I don't know. I guess at 9:05 outside is no longer safe. I don't know. So it was like, when you look at like that opportunity to be resilient, and this was a light one, right? Resilient or stubborn. Like that was truly an opportunity for me to be stubborn, because I could have in that moment just said, 9 o'clock is the rule. We don't have a reason why. That's just the rule that we have in the house. We're done, right? Like done talking about it, which is a parenting approach that I definitely grew up in, right? Yes. Like the rule is the rule. I don't need your input or insight from the child. But in that opportunity, I had that chance to sit down and say, you know what? 9 o'clock is arbitrary. Maybe we need to explore this on a one-off or case by case, or really even look into where are you going? How are you getting plugged in? And introducing like new information, right? The level of technology that's available for my youngest versus the technology that wasn't available for my oldest. And so I could have in that moment chose to go down that route of just being stubborn, like I'm done, I'm not talking about it, or create an opportunity for me to grow, expand, learn, and have healthy open dialogue. That's often what I see that happens as well, is that you end up having healthy open dialogue with others and even with yourself.
If you as a parent are saying, because I said so, you might be stubborn.
Yes.
isn't there like a calendar or something that you might be a redneck if?
Yes, there is.
You need to come with. You might be stubborn
if.
Because I said so.
Exactly. And for those of you that are listening with your kids in the car, kids, we are not telling you to challenge the rules of your parents.
No, listen to
your
parents. Do not do that at all. And I will not let my son listen to this. But he's 18 now, so it's like, for all intents and purposes, he's an adult. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I love it.
When they come back and they ask, why was curfew 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock? Why was this? Why did we have to do laundry on a certain day? Because I said so is not
the answer.
Because
I said so. It may be stubborn.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love it. I think we see a lot of the stubbornness when people just don't want to change. Because change is hard. We get into this place where this is easy. It's easy to just be on this autopilot through life.
Yes.
And I don't want to challenge my beliefs because guess what? I was raised this way. Curfew was 9 o'clock when I was a kid. So therefore, it's just easier for me to say that that's what it is for you. So we come up with these places where we're just stuck in a place and we don't want to change because there's that fear of what could happen, the fear of the unknown. So that stubbornness can keep us stuck.
Right.
And I think just that idea of challenging yourself, am I just being stubborn or am I truly making a decision that's going to be the best for me moving forward?
Yeah.
Because, and I do want us to talk about some of the negative impacts of stubbornness on our lives, because I think it does have a negative impact on quite a few areas of our lives if we're not stubbornness in a positive way, in a negative way.
When you look at that, like just even presenting yourself or opening yourself up for that opportunity to have that dialogue, you've got to just set your ego to the side, right? And that's totally the piece of it. As even with the example with my youngest daughter, that was a great opportunity for me to say, well, you know what? I'm the mom. And so that's what we're doing, which is totally ego. Because I said so, totally ego. You have to have humility and empathy when you're going to do this exploration, or even if you're just doing a quick gut check to see, am I truly being stubborn in this situation, or is my ego at play? And we all know, like, your ego does not want to be wrong. It does not want to be embarrassed. Yeah. No. So,
well, and I think that that goes along with whether you're a mom, it also can be for leaders. If you're in a leadership position and one of your direct reports comes to you and says, hey, I've got this thought, I've got this idea. This is the way we've always done it. We're not changing that.
Oh.
And we kind of dig our heels, or maybe you're asked, could you give an evaluation of how things are going or how I'm doing as a leader? And we do that. And then we are attacked or are chastised because we did this. And instead of taking it, putting that ego aside and saying, wait a minute, I asked for this. This is a growth opportunity for me. This is resilience here. So let me listen to what they're saying and see what I can do to become a better leader to people. So,
Absolutely.
So I think it's whether you're a parent, whether you're in a relationship with somebody else, or whether you are in a leadership position, really anywhere you're going to be in flow with just humans, I think.
Any type of human interaction.
So it applies. So unless you are living in a hole and not interacting with any humans, this doesn't apply to you.
Well, it may still.
Oh my God.
I love it. And that's such a big piece, right? And I think that you totally touched on a big piece. Like, how many times are we in either a work or a volunteer capacity hit with the, well, we've always done this that way, right? We're having to address the sacred cows that are in the room or in the organization or in the company. Whenever I hear that, like, we've always done it that way, there's a part of me that just lights on fire on the inside because I'm like, oh, great. Okay, so if we've always done it that way, then there should be opportunities to improve, like you said, right? Like, how can we make it better? Because there's nothing that has existed the exact same way for a decade or more. So great, let's take it. Let's take it and grow with it. Let's make it bigger, better, or even find some of the holes that no one's addressed in the past decade that we can create opportunities for growth or improvement. I think you're spot on. Again, though, you got to push your ego to the side to have those conversations.
100%. And I think when we talk about stubbornness, it's often ego-driven. Like, 100%. I don't want to challenge the beliefs that I have. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to challenge that I might not be as good a leader as I thought I was. I don't want to challenge that our organization may need to change because it's not effectively being run. Fill in the blank. It's very much ego-driven when we come from a stubborn place as opposed to a resilient place where we're like, what's the opportunity that I can learn in this moment when yes. I just had all of my direct reports say that I'm a terrible communicator? Okay, what can I learn? How can I do better? How can I improve so that that isn't the case? Because you want to talk about building trust and building relationships. That is a beautiful way to do it. But absolutely. If they know that nothing will change when they've done something like that and they've put themselves out there, you're going to hear, oh, you're amazing. You're just amazing. I love you.
Exactly.
And then at the water cooler, they're saying 50,000 other things that you don't
I was going to say, as they're like updating their resume, they're like, you're fabulous.
You're amazing. I love you. Yeah, exactly. So we talked about missed opportunities. We talked about how it can really impact our relationships when we are stubborn about our beliefs or convictions. Mm-hmm. I think it can cause some stress and frustration. And yes. it often can cause other people to just be like, you know what? I just think I'm going to remove myself from this relationship or this interaction yes. because I don't, it's just frustrating because every time I talk to this person, this is what I'm getting back, somebody that's digging their heels. And those are a couple of things I think about. And I mean, one of the ones, and it's very much tied to resilience. Resilience is about that growth mindset.
Yes.
I think stubbornness, it impedes you growing because uh-huh. I don't think you can really truly grow as a person if you are so stubborn in your convictions.
100%. I agree. And when you get that, like if you don't have or experience or see those opportunities for growth, yeah. like it becomes counterproductive, right? So you mm-hmm. might as well just stop in looking for that opportunity to expand and do the reflection. Otherwise, the stubbornness that you have or that you experience is definitely pushing you up against a wall, yeah. removing options mm-hmm. and opportunities along the way. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can really impede you making good decisions because yes. if you are so closed off and stubborn in your convictions, yes. you're not going to be open to anybody else's beliefs or anybody else's point of view. And that's a dangerous place to be in because yes. if you're making decisions out of stubbornness, it's going to impact whatever, your job, your relationships, your life, your success.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank. It could be a multitude of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's, we talk about it from the team building standpoint, right? So Pam, you mentioned yes. like if it's from your work relationships, your personal relationships, your family. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at friendships, significant other, if you find yourself like being stubborn about how things are done, we've talked about travel in the past, right? I continue to receive comical relief at the airport with folks that travel. I don't know how it just gets better and better, but it does. And I jokingly say this, just had a trip with three of my peers. So three other peers and myself traveling. Oh, yeah. Typically, I travel independent and solo, but three of us were traveling together. And we started having a conversation in how regimented we are in specific things, right? So I was not driving. Another person was driving. Okay. They park on the other side of the airport. I don't usually park on the east side of the airport. I'm a west side of the airport parker. And I like to do TSA pre-check and I like to do clear and get through and get to the gate 3 minutes before we board. Well, when you're traveling with other people, they all had different opinions about that. Some enjoy TSA pre-check. Some don't know the benefit of it. And so in that moment, I was like, okay, I'm going to go through a different experience. I'm going to embrace this for what it was. I still think my way is better, but I did it. I was open to it. At least I said, let me give it a whirl. Maybe I form an opinion and it's not as bad as I think.
Okay. So I just have to say that just makes me laugh because I recently traveled with my son and I have clear. He does not have clear.
Oh, gosh.
And we get to the place where you split off for security. Yes. And I was like, bye, sweetie. And the look on his face was like, you're seriously leaving me? I was like, yeah, I don't wait in those lines.
Oh, he goes, my gosh.
Seriously. You're still. So I think maybe I might have been a little stubborn in travel.
But, I love it.
You know, bless you for wanting. And you know what? Shame on me because it could have been an opportunity. But in fairness, I was going to be sitting on an airplane with them and spending a whole
exactly.
week.
Exactly.
So I feel like I'll pay my dues, you know, a little bit later, but let me just have to clear people so I can get through security quickly.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Well, and you should have seen, like, here's the irony in it. You should have seen the look on the TSA agents' faces when I give them my boarding pass and they're like, ma'am, you realize this is not pre-check. I'm like, yep, I'm here for support for that one up there that doesn't have it. So I'm going to do it. And they're like, okay.
Crazy. They were like, why would you put yourself through this?
Exactly. Why would you do this? But again, if I'm looking for information or if I'm looking for confirmation or validation, I was looking for information. I'm going to stick to the best practices I have for travel.
You learned that that was not the option that you want to do, but at least you tried it.
I did.
You tried it. Well, yes. I've tried regular security for years and years and years. So I think I did my research.
I think I have as well, but now it's confirmed. At 2023, I've checked it off the list.
Maybe it could have changed over the last couple of years. We have no idea. No idea. No. So one of the ones for stubbornness, and this one I'm pretty passionate about, is with our health. Because how many times do we go to the doctor and they ask you the question, so how many alcoholic beverages do you have? And you're like, maybe one.
Mm-hmm.
Small glass, real small glass, really, really small glass. And then you hear from all of them about how bad alcohol is for our bodies, for our sleep, for our focus, for everything. And we know this. Yeah. And yet we leave and then we just go back to our old ways because it's like this stubbornness. We're like, well, you know what? It's fine. Maybe that's for other people, but not for me. And it's really interesting because I've heard more and more how there used to be like one glass of red wine was healthy. And I keep hearing now that no alcohol is good for your body.
Right.
And yet I have a friend who's an avid beer drinker and they were like, oh no, I just heard some research that beer is good. And I'm like, what?
Information versus validation. Exactly. Which one? What kind of research are you doing?
I was like, is it? And I wasn't going to go down that road with them because I was like, no, you know what? You live in your bubble. I was like, I'm 100% sure that it doesn't have health benefits. And I'm hearing more and more people that are moving away from drinking because of that. But how many times do we make these decisions about our own health? Because it's become a habit and we just get kind of our heels in the ground where I'm like, well, I'm not changing this. I'm not doing this. I know it's not good, but you know what? I'm stubborn in my ways and I don't want to change it. And I've lost a grandparent to emphysema, you know, 20 years before one of my other grandparents. And sometimes these choices that we make, this stubbornness it can have a really significant impact on our lives.
Absolutely. And those are the instances, Pam, where we talk about like another person doesn't have to be involved in it, right? Like sometimes it's just you and your own personal experience. When you look at your own personal experiences, what are those opportunities where you're completely being stubborn in what you do and not being open to exploring more informative, insightful ways of potentially looking at that situation or behavior or plan of action that's not just you seeking validation? No judgment to your friend that has one beer a day or whatever that looks like. And there's probably research that says it, right? And was it Betty White that said like the...
with her vodka?
Vodka. Like that's what I thought. It was Betty White. She's like...
to 100. So it's like, you know...
Secret to longevity was vodka. For her, it worked. But here's my thing. I think it's a mindset piece too, right? If that's what she thinks, that's great. We hope that you've enjoyed part one of our two-part series on stubbornness and resiliency. Who would have known that there's a correlation between the two? Anyways, make sure that you come back and join us for part two, because we're going to continue to dive in to some of the light work or the positive aspects of being stubborn when we're facing adversity, as well as diving into some tools that we can utilize to help do that introspective work when we find ourselves in a space where we may be stubborn and we're wanting to grow. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.